Hello and welcome to another episode of Fun Bearable. I am Brad Rohr. I am joined, as always, by...
Hi, I'm Ray Harrington.
And I am
Charles Staton.
You didn't have a prop.
I didn't have a prop. I know. I was very Jerry jealous.
You were very Jerry jealous?
I was very jelly jealous.
I was jelly belly. We are recording in the Tell 'em Steve Dave Studios here in beautiful, rainy New Jersey.
That's right.
USA.
Ray's feeling it. He said he's feeling the rain.
The drives. I'm tired.
Yep.
I'm very tired today. It just sort of just hit me because we're here because we had to go into the city in Manhattan for a meeting of sorts for things that we don't want to get into.
Here's what happened. The president's plane crashed. And the only ones who could save him were the three of us.
Yeah. I was rude to the governor.
Yeah.
So, I was straight up rude.
Are we Snake Plissken in this?
Yes, we are.
Okay, good.
I was about to say that we all had to turn in our eye patches when we were done.
This is why Chuck never did improv. Because he's in a scene, he's like, wait, am I the president? Yes, we're in a laundromat.
Well, it's interesting.
And then you lean over and you're like, this is a small theater.
Well, here's what's
this
funny.
I'm going to show you how my brain works. No,
here's how my brain works. Right, we had to go to Manhattan for a meeting, and you said the president, and I'm like, but if we can easily get out of Manhattan, then this is an escape from New York.
Yeah.
But we're in New Jersey. Brad and Ray are up for a special meeting that we went to, and we're all together.
It was a court date.
And I mean, we'll pull back the curtain.
We're adopted.
Don't do it. Don't you dare.
We're pulling it back.
I stapled it shut.
Ray had some plans tonight.
Yeah.
That were canceled last minute.
Yeah.
That would have increased.
I was going to renew my vows. And my wife said, I got to think about it.
Yeah. She's like, I got a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Ray had a thing tonight. That was the
show. I had a comedy show as a comedian.
Well, I didn't know how much. So that was planned. And it was like, here's our whole plan. And we had this very, very specific plan for 48 hours.
It is a comedy in itself that we had this thing because I had this show. Someone reached out to me and asked me to do a show. It was like it was basically like the city of West Hartford or something in Connecticut asked me to do this show. And it was like an outdoor thing that they wanted to do. Already it's like, all right, but you know, fine. Summer, I get it.
He wants the greenbacks, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be Benjamins.
And you know what? If they're green on the front, even better.
And so
that's great. I've never heard that before.
I agreed to do the show, and then we were dealing with the details of our meeting.
Which was scheduled first, like confirmed first.
Yeah, and then this person like waited too long to confirm, and then finally I was like, okay, and was truly juggling so many things. I'm on the phone with you, like, okay, how can we make this work? And trying to, you know, just figure it out.
Yeah, and the course of action that was the best was Chuck and Brad drive separately from Ray for 2 hours into Connecticut from Rhode Island. Then we get in one car. Drive an hour and a half to my apartment in Staten Island.
Chuck and Ray drive.
Separately.
Yeah
Brad separately,
was,
right.
Brad was riding along for the ride. Bitch.
Yeah. Two separate cars are going to Connecticut.
I'm taking the word back.
Two hours there from Rhode Island. Then an hour and a half to New York, all three of us in one car.
Yeah, yeah.
Meeting. Then I drive Ray and Brad back to Connecticut the following day.
Yep.
And
you attend the show as my guests.
I attend the show. And then Brad and Ray drive back to Rhode Island, and I drive back to Staten Island.
Yeah.
And that was all based around this big show.
It was a whole conflaboration.
Nope.
Configuration.
Yes.
Configuration, I know. Conflab. What's the flab?
There was a flab one.
Isn't it conflagration?
Conflagration, but there's a flab one.
There is a flab one.
I don't know.
It's like it got.
So you're.
It means it got mixed up.
Sure.
I thought it was like just a complicated thing. Basically, it was like Rube Goldberg scheduling was happening.
Right, exactly.
I'm so tired and I'm sorry. Viewer, listener, I apologize. I was going to drink that hand sanitizer. And then in the comedy beat, in the script of life, got an email with less than 24 hours before, like 2 hours before we were about to leave.
Yes.
Hey, there's going to be rain, so we're going to cancel the show. Meanwhile, the guy had said, you know, a week before, like, we have a backup plan, no worries.
And Ray didn't even, he wasn't even like, hey, I'm worried, are we going to have a backup plan? Yeah. The guy's like, Ray, just reaching out to you ahead of time, making sure your mind is at ease that the show will not be messed with.
Yeah.
If there's a weather problem, we have a backup plan. And Ray went, oh, that's just, this is great.
This guy's got it all figured out. It was worth the 30 goddamn emails that we had back and forth for a simple direct show.
And what's crazy is I had driven back to Rhode Island just to drive Ray and Brad up to New York for this meeting, and this, it was now thrown into our gears, and that's why we had to figure out all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
and then, so it was canceled.
Yeah.
And so we said, we're together. We're in the same place at the same time. The fun bears need us.
Yep.
They need it. They need what the things that we give, they want to take them, and they need them inside, and that's how they live. And it's lifeblood, and it's air, and it's all the things that you would need as a human or a robot or an animal or a
Yeah.
That was pretty good sound.
Squirted in my ears after hearing Chuck say all that. I felt all right about it. It felt a little menaced last night when we were trying to cross Staten Island, and there was the guy with the bottles on his fingers, and he said,
clacking.
Unbearable, come out and play.
Yeah. And but then he also said, like, make your tangents a little shorter, and that was weird.
That was weird, because I'm like, well, that's all we do.
And then he was clacking, and then these guys with baseball uniforms on and white makeup on their faces, they came out.
We were like, you can't have white on your face.
That sounds like Juggalos when you describe that.
And they said that... we need to get better at understanding what is interesting in our personal lives versus what's interesting in an entertainment platform.
Yeah, two different
things.
And
they said scheduling snafus is a big one.
They said it's really good and entertaining.
Oh, no. Oh, see, you were talking to somebody else.
You
were actually talking to a regular baseball player. Yeah.
So last minute, big thanks to Walt Flanagan. Tell him Steve Dave. Get him letting us record here. So, because we're all together, we said, let's make a thing.
And they know, right? They know we're here?
They will know.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because we did have to climb through a window. Yeah.
I know.
You made me do it, which was awkward.
Well, I figured you've got the
stealth.
Yeah, the stealth.
Yeah,
You're wily.
Yeah, I'm quiet.
Yeah.
Really sneaky. Right?
Yeah.
We're burying the lead here, or not acknowledging the elephant in the room, the olive oil coated.
Greek,
Turkish,
Turkish
elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Ray's back.
Where we last left off. Where last our viewer left us.
Alaska Ray went to Italy.
Yeah, I was dropped off in the airport.
Yeah,
by two wonderful gentlemen.
That's us.
I gave them a solid 4 stars.
Well, that's fine.
Hmm.
Something to work to. You know what I mean? Yeah, like trying to achieve that. But yeah, I went to the Mediterranean. So I'm back from that.
Yeah, we did the episode in the car.
Yeah.
I think my favorite thing about that was that we turned off the cameras. We said, we did it, guys. We hugged at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Brad and I took a left. I said, you know, I need to get gas. We were talking about in the episode. Went to get gas. Drove out of the gas station and said, car's feeling a little funky. And we pulled over. My oh my. Like, it was like a plug this big, like, sticking out of my tire.
Yeah.
And that started a whole day of me and Brad fixing stuff.
And you were
just sweating and walking and trying to find public bathrooms.
Fighting with AAA.
Yeah, and you guys were texting me updates as it was happening.
Yeah.
While I'm at the airport.
Yeah.
And eventually I get through, and it gets to a point where I'm like, I got to turn my phone off.
Yeah.
I'm about to go fly in the sky.
Yeah. It seemed like it happened awfully sudden, though.
Yeah, it did.
It was short. The security line was really short.
I didn't even finish the word tire. And I'm like, I haven't even sent the text yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just sent a picture, like a selfie of me, on the plane.
It's weird. I remember a text from Ray that said, I got mine, and then it said, blocking is active.
Yeah. No, that's true. That is true.
It was weird. I was surprised. But okay,
I did say I gifted you a subscription or a membership to Triple B.
Right, that's what we tried to use.
Yeah, it's not good.
No, it's weird.
No, it's a guy.
Yeah,
and he comes.
Yeah, Bobby Bibby Bruno,
and he can't help. He doesn't change the tire, and he can't tow you, but he commiserates with you. Yeah,
he's like, this stinks.
He's like, man, this really sucks.
Yeah, this
really sucks.
Bobby Bibby Bruno.
God, I was just with somebody that had a flat down the road.
Yeah,
and they were getting Triple A. We're waiting for that. And it took 4 hours, so it's probably going to be longer for you. God, this sucks.
What was funny, too, is I had to move my bowels, and the worst time for a tire thing to happen is when your bowels are almost about to move for themselves.
Evacuate, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They help. They're not like me. I would hire movers, but They were self-movers.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair.
And so I walked and I walked and I walked. Remember, Brad?
I do. I waited by the car pretending to be Chuck on the phone with AAA.
And I was so mad that I ordered 20 munchkins. I ate them on the way back, like, to the car. That happened, remember that?
Yes, I do.
just mad.
You told me you ordered 10 munchkins.
Cartoon. What a cartoon.
Do you ever get mad at me?
Yeah, 10. Yeah. 10, and I gave 5 of them to charity.
You ever get so stressed out that you're like, I'm giving myself a treat? Have you ever done that? You say, you know what? I had such a hard day. I'm going to have a snack or a treat.
I don't think I've ever vocalized it internally that way.
Yeah.
I had a bad day. Therefore, I will have this treat. It's more of a frustration where I go, fuck this. Fuck it. Yeah. I'm going to have that. Fine.
Yeah. Me and you talked about stress treats. During COVID,
right,
a little bit,
strangling a homeless person to death. Yeah, that's one of my sweet treats.
It's a stress treat.
Yeah,
yeah. So quite a time. Did you have more fun in Italy than we had with the tire, or less fun?
Because we got a great great meal that night.
It was good tacos.
I had a torta.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I went to the Mediterranean during a record heat wave.
Ooh.
And when I left,
but you're part of history.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's right. Huh. What a big book that would be. A Guinness book, like whoever was there. Right? No, I went.
Oh, Herring Tom.
Oh, they got
it. By the way, that's a book you would read.
It was good, but like going from Alaska and being like, oh, Alaska Ray and all that stuff, then going to Italy, Greece, and Turkey is such a shift. It's whiplash, right? Both temperature-wise and just like taking it in. Went to Naples. I flew into Rome, and I thought I was going to do all the Rome stuff, and I didn't do the Rome stuff because I got in at like
the chariot racing?
Yeah.
I don't know what you mean.
Stabbing Russell Crowe in the side, I think, or something?
Having sex with like a young boy? That's a thing.
That's more of a Greek. Chuck. I mean,
Greek. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Went in Greece.
Wait a minute, you went to Greece.
Yeah, I did.
Oh. Ew.
No, anyway, so this is weird. This episode is weird, and I don't even like it.
I don't even like it.
Viewer, listener, I appreciate you so much, and it's moments like this where that appreciation is still at 110%, and I really do enjoy that you enjoy this, and thank you. But it's moments like this, in this split second, where I go, I don't get what they like here, and I don't have anything in common with them. You know what I mean? Like, why are you watching this by choice?
Why do you like me?
Yeah, I have to be here. What are you doing? You know what I mean? No, that's on me, not you guys. That's on me.
Ray, answer the question. Did you get pickpocketed? I didn't ask the question.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No pick a pocket.
You think any attempts?
I don't. Nope. No attempts. No one got close enough. I think what the big keep away situation there was was that I'm 6'7".
Yep.
Morbidly obese.
Yeah.
And it was like 100 degrees in Naples, Italy. Uh-huh. So I'm profusely sweating and clutching my little satchel next to me. Yeah. And I think that's what it was.
Don't steal from me.
Yeah.
There's sweat dripping from the satchel. And you're like, how is that even possible?
Right. Well, it was collecting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, Naples was fine. It's not what I would picture Italy to be. It's kind of like, it's an interesting city for sure. Character all day long.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
But it is like grimy. You know what I mean? It's a grimy city. No offense to any Napoleons, Napoli people.
Yeah.
Not Napoleanos.
Is that part of the charm, though, maybe?
Wait, I thought they were called Neapolitan. Is that not the case?
That's right. Yeah.
Are the streets like brown, white, and pink?
No. Oh. No, that's referring to races, and it was uncomfortable that they called that ice cream that. Yeah, but no. It's a city where like they have a history, and it's a very. I think the city itself is more interesting, like history wise, and like being there to see some of the grimier elements. It's not what you think of for like la 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 Italy. You know what I mean? Like spaghetti. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. It's more like, here's this area. It's been historically this. You can get drugs over there. If you want drugs in Italy, that's where they are.
Oh, same drugs? You know. South end of Boston.
Yeah. Southie. Yeah, Naples is the Southie of Italy. That's not bad.
Good pizza?
It was fine. It's the birthplace of pizza. Yeah, yeah, and it was fine.
The Queen Margarita.
I will say this, though. I had the best coffee experience.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm getting espresso.
A coffee enema.
No.
It's
close.
It's espresso. That's how they say it.
Oh, God. It's egg-spresso.
It's made egg cream of egg-spresso. Yeah.
And no, I was so sweaty, and I stopped into this this little cafe, and I got a bottle of water, and then I'm looking around, and I see, like, the most beautiful, ornate espresso machines and things like that, and I was like, oh, I got to get it here, right?
Yeah.
And I'm chatting with the guy running the place, and the woman at the counter, she doesn't speak English, so he does a little bit. So we're going back and forth and stuff. And it gets to a point where he's like, "And what do you do?" You know, that kind of thing. Because I make sure to say, like, I'm working one of the ships.
Right.
You know, I always say that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not one of them.
Do you want them to think you're a comedian, or are you like happy if they were just like you swab the deck?
Exactly. Yeah. I would prefer they think I swab the deck, honestly, because I don't want to get into the whole comedy thing,
right?
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. Me, because you know what happens when you say, I swab the deck? They don't go, you know who my favorite deck swabber is?
John Mulaney.
Right? And then we get into a whole conversation about funny. That. Yeah. How did he swab that
for
deck
me,
one
it
time?
Would be...
He swabbed it because he went left and then to right, but then he went further right, and it was really funny.
I like the guy who had his puppet swab the deck.
Yeah.
my favorite one is with Shirley Temple, her friend. Remember, there was a friend that danced and swabbed?
Yep.
Yeah, you are a big fan of Shirley Temple.
We did mention it earlier.
But
the drink.
Yeah. No, you are a fan of the drink because you often have to order that for your date. Isn't that correct? It's like an adult drink, isn't it? Yeah. But anyway, no, so I'm talking to the guy. I asked for an espresso. Oh, so he said, "What do you do?" And I said, I'm a comic on the ship. And he's like, oh, you know. And then the woman's like, I could tell she was like, what did he say? I don't know what he just said. And it's just like, the comedian. And I'm like, ooh, this is fun.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I asked for a coffee. And he goes, it's too hot. It's too hot for an espresso.
And you're like, yeah?
Yeah.
This guy gets me.
He goes, I know what I'll get you. And I'm like, this is fucking great.
Yeah.
I'm
That's
having
the way
a
to
moment,
go.
Right?
That's the way to go.
Yeah, I'm having the moment. And then he came out with a baseball bat. No, he presented me with this little insulated glass.
Yeah.
And in it was espresso. Nothing else.
Okay.
Just espresso. But it was churn frozen. So it's put in like a cooling machine.
Okay.
Like a freezing thing that has a spiral corkscrewy kind of deal going the whole time. So it doesn't, sort of like a, you know, like a slushy machine or something like that.
Yeah.
It's put into that.
Yeah.
And so it freezes it with ice crystals, but it's still a liquid. And he poured that for me, and it still did the espresso thing where you get that little head on it and everything like that. And I was like, okay. And I shot that, like, I didn't shoot. I had a little sippy, and it was the best espresso I've ever had, truly. It was amazing.
I'm so jealous. Sounds great.
It was so good. And you know, sweat for a while, and then I went back on the ship. Yep. I went to Greece, and I had the best piece of, guys, how do we feel about baklava?
I don't know, but I showed Brad Bobka recently. That's pretty similar in terms of letters.
Letters, yes.
Yeah.
Letters, B-A-K-A. Yes.
A K A.
Ingredients, not at all.
It's probably butter.
I mean, it's they could both be purchased at a bakery.
Yeah, right?
That's pretty good.
That is a possibility.
I am pro baklava.
I am so pro baklava. Yeah. I think baklava is like one of my favorite things.
Wow, well, the babka became one of our favorite things recently.
Yeah. I love.
Should we have the same favorite thing? Is that weird?
To be fair. declared it our favorite thing. Just
but then
now.
You disagreed with it. Yeah.
There are always these little things I hear that are just like, we are in a treehouse. Yeah. You know what I mean? Should we have the favorite, the same favorite things?
I think we
should
are.
Should we do that?
I think Fun Bearable is an emotional treehouse.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah.
I'm stranded.
An emotional treehouse for sure. Yeah, and sometimes that rope ladder, it gets pulled up behind us, right? But no, I love baklava so much. So I'm walking around in this town in Greece, and it's beautiful. And I stumble on this bakery that's like half indoor, half outdoor because of the weather.
Okay,
they can just have it like open 90% of the year.
Right.
And it's like over 100 years old. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I want to get something here. You know, I wanted to have that experience. And then I saw this little cooler off to the side. They had bread. They had all those pastries and stuff. But in this cooler was baklava. Mm. And I went, oh, that's what I'm getting. And it was refrigerated out on this like 9,800 degree weather.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
And so it's like a little like solid because of the honey being cold.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I ate it, and most baklava is like the nuts, the either the pistachios or walnuts are like almost like a paste with the honey. Mm. These were chunkier.
Mm. Sounds
great. I bit into this thing, and I was like, this is incredible.
Wow, I'd love to try it.
Value-wise, it is the biggest bang for your 2.5 euro that you will pay for that.
How many dollars is that?
It's like $3.50.
Okay, so
you know, it's not bad. Yeah. But it was truly the best piece of baklava. I had other baklava while I was, because that is also a Turkey thing as well, Turkish. And all of it was just like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
But it ain't that, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, Greece was cool. And then Turkey was probably my favorite part. You know, I went to Kusadasi and then, you know, home of the fakes, seeing signs of like genuine fake Rolexes here.
Oh.
Yeah. And having to negotiate with these guys.
Yeah.
Because they pull you into their market. Here's a fun tip. Now it's turning educational.
Travel log time.
Here we go. Entertainment. You're checking your watch like, ugh, this is actual content. I hate it.
My watch just buzzed, but it's because it's low battery.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
We have some stuff floating that we're excited about. So I'm nervous about my notifications.
Oh, the results?
The results.
The results of the trial and of the test. Yeah. Yikes.
And by the way, the results of the test are going to tell us how the trial goes.
Well, I was going to say, the trial hinges on the test, for sure. So this is like these marketplaces, right?
Yeah.
Like when I was in Istanbul, which is a really cool city, so much going on there. It's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked Istanbul. I walked around so much in Istanbul in like the heatest of heats.
Yeah. So are we talking, just I want to know, just
yeah.
like camels?
No.
Is it all
honey,
city?
Honey, no.
Desert?
Istanbul is a city. Okay. Istanbul is like one of the oldest cities.
So I'm thinking of Indiana Jones, and he's running and chasing.
Yeah.
But that's not part of it.
No. No. It's more like he goes into a busy city to get to that one mosque that has a scroll hidden behind a tile. Does that make sense?
Okay. Crazy bikes? Little like bicycles? Three-wheeled bicycles?
No.
Little carts?
No. See, I think all you know is a movie one time.
Yes. One movie one time.
Yeah, one movie one time, and that's every other country. How was Belgium?
No,
was it like with the rickshaws and the straw hats?
No, you went to Alaska. That's snow.
How were the burritos in Istanbul? Were they delicious?
What did you think of paddling the canals of Cairo?
But no, Istanbul, it is beautiful. Like, the architecture is wonderful, and there are mosques and other buildings that have been around forever, and it's incredible. Had some Turkish coffee. That was great. It's weird. I think it maybe contributed to my traveler stomach the next morning. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, the markets, right?
Yeah.
So, like, in Istanbul, I went to the Grand Bazaar, which is one of the oldest, largest bazaars in the world, which is just a great big maze of stalls of people selling stuff. And you do get to a point where you're like, I don't know how to get out, and there's so many people, I want to fucking leave, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a split second, and then you're overwhelmed,
You feel a little bit isolated in terms of communication?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And being alone.
Yeah.
And having so many people try and get my attention, you know, because it's very, like, proactive sales are happening.
Excuse me, sir.
You know, a lot of that.
Could you communicate easily? Like, did you...
What is this? What am I shaking? This is a cup? Or?
This is your translation burrito.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought it was your Turkish coffee.
No, they can speak.
I thought you were begging for Turkish.
There's plenty of English speaking. Yeah, for sure. Cool. Like, they're trying to get my attention excuse me, sir. You know?
I get it.
I think if they look at me, they're not going to lead with, you know,
Turkish.
Any
Turkish
language.
Tongue. Right.
Yeah. Turkish tongue. Have you had that?
It's good.
It's not a thing that you can purchase. I mean, well, you could, depending on what alley you go down. But anyway, you know, it's very like aggressive stuff like that.
Sure.
And they're asking different things. My favorite experience in the Grand Bazaar was I went into one place that was selling like towels and blankets and, you know, that kind of right. mercantile sort of things. And I was going to buy this like little linen like hand cloth thing. And okay. I was like, I'm literally going to get it to wipe sweat off my face.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy wanted the owner's assistant wanted to know how tall I was. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I'm 6'7", 6'7". And he's like, how many centimeters is that? Like, and he's trying to break it down.
Oh, that's yeah. funny.
He pulled out a calculator.
Yeah.
And the assistant and him are huddled together and they're tapping away and it's like, okay. And he has a pencil and he's doing it with the eraser.
Oh, nice.
And it's incredible, right? And he's trying to figure this out. And he's like, okay, so a foot is this many centimeters, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then he hits equals. And the centimeters comes up, and he goes, wow, you are tall. You know, like, yeah, but the comedy
the,
of that.
That was yeah, the that verification that you are, in fact,
yeah, yeah.
Well,
the
tall.
Idea of being like, how tall are you?
Yeah.
Wow, you're tall.
Yeah, exactly.
According
that's
to these
what it
numbers,
was.
Yeah, that's yeah. really funny.
And when I was in Kusadasi, I learned my haggling trick.
Yeah. Oh,
and boy. I'm going to tell you a haggling trick. Hey, fun bears, if you're travel bears, you better listen. Here's my YouTube top 5 tips for dealing with haggling.
If you're traveling, you're a fun bear. You're a go bear.
Go bear? Go bear or go home? No, don't say go bear. Shit. That's like not using a condom.
Yes. It's all excited.
It's like,
no,
oh, no, no. That's not what we mean. We mean raw dogging. That's what it is. Yeah. If you're a traveler, you're a raw dogger.
Yeah,
no?
I like that.
No, please don't. Please don't be.
A rucksacker.
Oh. Okay, go ahead.
Motherfucker. Sorry, bleep it, bleep it. I'm so overtired, and I apologize for anything I'm saying on this episode. And I don't stand by anything Chuck says. Brad, I'll check. I'll check it.
Good choice.
Yeah,
good choice.
I'll footnote it.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I'm so tired. So here's
haggling
my
trick.
Yeah, here's my tip for haggling. If you are traveling to a destination where haggling is happening, right? Mm. In the U.S., No haggle.
No.
Yeah. Unless it's like person to person, like
a flea market.
If you're doing a Craigslist,
right?
That's when people right. are going to haggle.
We're talking marketplace.
Yeah, FB market.
I went to Mexico and I had to haggle.
Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm.
You know what I got?
A child.
A person.
Weird gold chain with a big dollar sign.
Ooh, very nice. Why was it weird?
I mean, why would I wear that?
Is this part of your tactic? Is this part of your deal?
No, I mean, it was weird because I was buying it because it's stupid and odd.
No, I know, but I think it's funny that would be part of your haggling tactic.
Why would I wear this?
Yeah, why would I wear? It's dumb. This
That's
sucks.
Exactly what I did.
Anyway, I'll give you like 30% of what you're asking because it's stupid, right? That's great.
Yeah.
So my tactic for this haggle in Turkey, where haggling is king, right? Yeah. This is, you know, like I said, home of the genuine fake Rolex.
Sorry. King Haggling the Second.
And like I got my wife a Louis Vuitton wallet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just like it's fake. It's not, you know, it's all this is where all that bullshit comes from.
It's Louis Vuitton.
And it's a picture of a guy going like that. I'm Lou. Yeah. My father, you can call him Mr. Vuitton. Yeah. Anyway, here's the trick. So I'm having Turkish tea. With this gentleman, you know, he's invited me into his shop. I'm doing this, and he is showing me all the wallets. And now I feel like he gave me the tea. I got to buy some.
Yeah.
So it's in Turkish lira, which is very hard to like on the fly do the exchange rate.
Right.
It roughly comes down to like 40 U.S. dollars is 1,000 Turkish lira. So 20 would be 500. You know, et cetera. Yeah. So we're dealing with the Louis Vuitton wallet, and he's like, he says like, you know, 700 lira. And I'm like, okay. And I'm trying, and it's before I've done the math, right? He's wrapping it up at the register. And I have the lira in my pocket, and I intentionally put different denominations in different pockets because I knew I was going to haggle. And he just about finishes wrapping up, and I go, would you do 150 or 200 or what? Maybe it was 200, right? And he goes, and he looks at the thing that he's already wrapped up.
Yep.
And he goes, okay, right? And I was like, thank you so much. And he gave it to me. I gave him the 200 Turkish lira. And as I'm leaving, he's like, he's holding up the two 100 Turkish lira notes, and he's like, this is like nothing. And he drops it on the floor, and he's like, this is like money I would find. I wouldn't even bend over to pick it up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thank you, right?
It's like $8, right?
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's a great price for a wallet.
That's interesting.
But here's what happened. That was my first haggle moment.
Right.
Yeah.
And I did that everywhere it was appropriate after that, and my trick worked every single place. They never came back with a counter.
So, but
I would just be like, yep. And then right when they're finished wrapping, I'll give you this. And every single time they look a little like, fine, here you go. So like I tricked them.
Did you agree to it though? I'm trying to figure out if you agree to the first price.
Yeah, I went, okay.
Are you allowed to just go back on it?
Yes.
Wow.
It's haggling.
Interesting.
I'll say this.
It's a haggle.
You wouldn't haggle past
I feel supremely guilty on your behalf to the point where I'm like, can I get his address so I can send him some lira?
Listen, like I paid $7 for that, and he paid like 50 cents for it. You know what I mean? And everywhere you go in these like ports and stuff like that, there's tourist tax. Like everything is jacked up so much.
For sure.
In fact, when I would talk to like shops or people long enough, I would make sure to let them know like I'm working on the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, they'd be like, oh, okay. Well, we'll give you a discount. Because it's basically saying, oh, we'll give you the regular price.
Yeah, exactly. You know? You're not a tourist. Yeah. You're an employee who's here because of your job.
Yeah. Now, you have taken the shine off of my amazing haggling tactic, which is bumming me out.
Not me.
However.
He did.
You both did.
I didn't feel guilty.
You didn't feel guilty, but you questioned it.
I did question.
Yeah.
Lots of guilt here, still.
That's fine. It is a thing. I would say in those haggle-heavy areas.
Right.
Right? In a bazaar in Turkey where it is an expected cultural thing. Like culturally, you haggle, right? I think it's a fine enough tactic because I don't think the sale has been agreed upon until the money exchanges hands. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here is my haggle tip. Avoid the bazaar entirely.
And you mean that in both definitions of bizarre.
Well, in America, go to Chipotle.
I don't know if Brad, even by himself in his home, can avoid the bizarre entirely. I remember one time.
I keep it in the bathroom.
One time I was trying to buy this really cool sporty convertible.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And I talked to the guy on the phone and I was.
Wait, was it a matchbox or?
No, real.
Oh, it was a real
car.
Okay.
And we're having this back and forth. And I got him down to $3,500 from about $5,000.
Yeah.
Right? And we met up. And he goes, hey. And I'm like, hey. And he's like, can I tell you something? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, I don't know how you got me to agree to that price, but can we do more than that? And I was like, I'm so sorry, bud. You agreed to $35. And so he took the $35.
That's still a tactic. You know what I mean?
You
held firm. Because guess what? At any point,
he could say, I'm not going to give you the car then.
Yeah. You're not. Like when I said, I'll give you $200.
He could say like, no, it's this much.
Yeah, he could say,
300.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And he didn't. He was like, okay. I do think if it was something so below,
right,
it would have to.
They would throw a counter offer out, and they just didn't.
Yeah. I think that there would have to be some, like to me, for it to be super shitty, it would have to be like a car that he's putting on your flatbread. And then he puts
flatbread.
Ooh,
ooh, car
these
flatbread.
These Turkish meals are crazy.
The convertible, it was a Hot Wheel. And I ate it. I was going to say.
It was a Stouffer's Sebring, right?
Yes.
If it was like a huge, huge thing to get it to you, and then he did that work and got it to you.
Yeah, no, then it's crap. Yeah.
Then it's shitty.
Yeah. No, but this was still within the purchasing point. You know, the point of purchase.
I'm telling you right now, Brad doesn't agree.
That's fine. That's totally fine.
I don't like haggling at all.
I don't think there would be a haggling tactic you would feel comfortable.
I'm pretty sure I paid well over sticker for my car.
Yeah, I think Brad's haggling tactic in a Turkish bazaar is they go, 700 lira, and you go, deal. Sounds like a bargain.
No, he goes,
thank you.
He goes, you looked at my ugly face? How about 8?
Yeah. I think it's the idea of like, oh, come on, you can do better than that. 800.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I believe in you. You know what? I just want to support your small
business.
And
then business. You tip afterwards in a place that doesn't need that at all. No. You know? But no, I think that is a thing.
That's what the kid I'm paying $100 a day to guide me around told me to do.
Right, right. Now, now keep in mind, like when I was in Naples and I got that coffee.
Yep.
I'm not haggling for the price of that because that's not a situation where that is warranted.
Right. Yeah.
But in these bazaars, it's part of the thing. Like there are people that go that are like, this is part of the experience to go and do this, right?
Same thing as flea markets. It's the same thing.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, in the sense that I would also hate it there.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think the only reason I'm so excited about that tactic is it removes the back and forth that I'm uncomfortable with.
Yeah. Me too.
Like, it just gets rid of when he goes 700 and I go 300 and he goes 500. And I'm like, four? I hate that. I hate all of that.
I know, me too.
That kind of negotiating stuff.
It's so tough because you have to start, like, if you want it to be low, you got to start lower than you want.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You can't be like embarrassingly, insultingly low.
No, right? That's crazy.
It's so weird. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of those things of like, the whole idea of haggling or negotiating stuff like that, I hate it. Yep. I hate it so much. Just tell me what it is.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Just tell me what it is and I'll do that. And if it's not, I'll figure something else out. Because you always have to have the willingness to walk away and, from the deal. Often that's part of the tactic is you're like, no. Nah, and you get halfway out the door and they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm like, I want to buy that thing.
Yeah, I know.
I'm here because I want to buy the thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? I have a story for you really, really, really quickly.
I was just going to say, I've never been good at haggling. Like, but previous to this, do you have any, like, experience with haggling or not really?
Beyond just, like, little stuff of, like, you know, buying a used car or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
But all of that, I hate it. And then the only other experience is being on the other end. Like, I remember trying to sell something on Craigslist, like, forever ago, like, in college.
Yeah, I know.
Like, selling a computer and... You know, and then they get there, and my first experience doing this is, you know, the thing's listed for 300, and they're like, yeah, I'll pay 300. And then they come, and they're like, I only got 200 on me. You want it? And you're like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of thing. And
To me, that's the difference, because you made the trip. So it's like, that's when it's shitty, when someone just does that.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, I did one where I sold a laptop on Craigslist. And I sold it for like $300, you know, whatever. It was reasonable. I just looked it up and what I do whenever I sell anything, I look online, I find the lowest price that it is used, and that's what I listed it at. That's it.
Yeah.
So I went to this guy, I sold him my laptop.
Oh, I remember this guy.
Constant texts of troubleshooting things that he's having issues with. And I forgot my password. You need to help me figure out how to.
No, you don't.
I eventually said, like, hey man, like if there was something wrong with the laptop, I'd help you, but all the user error stuff, you got to find like a nephew.
Hey dude, if you bought this new at the store would be like, I don't know, maybe call HP.
I know.
Yeah, that's wild.
It was tough.
Yeah. No, so that's the only haggling experience kind of stuff that I've dealt with.
Yeah, you know? Same thing.
Yeah, but it's, I don't have that walk away mentality.
Right.
I know.
I don't have it.
I know. It's tough.
And I think our viewer listeners, if they've really gotten to know us through this podcast, know that we are not haggling people.
No.
We're too kind.
We are. We're soft boys.
We are a bit soft boy.
I think we're very soft. I think, first of all, I think as you age, everyone gets a little softer. And I think we started out fairly soft.
Yeah. There's only parts of me that are rock hard. Rock hard.
Can I be honest about something? There's been like a little bit of a thing hanging over my head today with some guilt that I got to be honest with you guys about.
Can I really quickly before you do your thing, the last haggling point, because I forgot it for a minute. I am struggling through this episode. I'm in a nightmare where I'm running and it's underwater. That's what I'm doing right now.
Got it, yeah.
Thank you. I like how Brad was immediately like, I'm with you, brother.
Makes sense.
He's like, that's my life.
Yes. I'm the water and I'm the guy running.
Yeah. For me, it's mud. Yeah. For me, it's mud and I'm a tadpole.
So
a naked tadpole.
So I heard this story from someone else, and it fits with this haggling idea. Mm. This person, when they were a child, probably in the 70s.
Yeah.
I don't remember who said it. It might have been on some podcast I listened to. So apologies if you listened to another podcast and heard this story. But they were saying that their friend's father would go to the grocery store and do the week's shopping and often would just like fill the cart with all their week's worth of groceries, go up, let the cashier ring everything through, bag it all up, and they would be like, okay, your total is $250. And the father would go, I'll give you $150. And they'd be like, no, that's not how it works. Like, that's just what the price is. We don't haggle. And he's like, I'll do $150 or I'll just leave. And you can put all of that back. And like the manager would come over. And the crazy thing is like, 50% of the time it would work.
Yeah.
Oh,
because the manager would look at it and be like, I don't want to have to put all that stuff back.
Yep.
And they wouldn't be happy about it, but they would do it.
Yep.
And that's something where I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
That's not in
crazy.
1 million years
that's
would I
crazy.
Do that.
Crazy. Yeah.
That the balls on somebody to do that is wild.
That is absolutely crazy.
I could not function.
Yeah. If I was behind that person in line, I would look at the cashier and I'd be like, I'll cover it. I know. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's exactly the instinct I would have for sure.
Yeah, it's terrible. Now tell me about your guilt.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Because your eyes are darting around. You won't maintain eye contact with me, and I'm worried. I'm worried that the guilt is somehow associated.
It's just I feel bad. I want to be honest because I feel like there's a lack of honesty in this specific situation. Earlier today, for me.
Oh, okay.
We went to Starbucks, and I don't know.
Don't say the name of it. Because we don't know if we're legally allowed to.
We went to a place called Barstuck.
We went to a popular Seattle-based coffee chain.
Right, Mermaid. So we had a little bit of an incident.
Yes.
Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember. I remember, yeah.
A little specific, but at the place I go to.
Are we going into this?
Well,
I feel like
I want to bring up a specific thing
is content. Wait, did you withhold information in this?
Maybe a little. A little bit of information that may have set things in motion that perhaps.
I was on your side the whole goddamn time.
You may still be on my side.
I'm upset.
You may be on my side.
How about this? Walk us through, like we'll walk all together, we'll walk through the scenario. When does the information come in? Should we put that at the end? Should we save that information?
Yeah, save the information.
Okay, let's tell the story as we understand it.
So we pull into the crowded parking lot
of the popular
of Seattle Coffee. Yep. Not Seattle's best. That's copyrighted. Mm-hmm. Seattle Coffee. And Chuck, driving, pulls up right next to the curb.
Because 10 minutes previous, I had put in a mobile order.
Yes.
And this is a very, very small parking lot where everyone always just pulls up to the curb, runs in, grabs their coffee, comes right out.
When they have a mobile order.
When they have a mobile order. It takes 2 seconds.
This particular coffee chain has a popular phone app where you could place your order ahead of time and then simply walk in and take your order.
Yeah. That's right. So, go ahead.
And
go ahead.
And, you know, I'm not going to use the term gentleman. A guy, khakis, tucked in polo, kind of shouts at Ray, who is in the passenger seat of Chuck's car.
1 millisecond after Chuck shuts the driver's side door and like takes the 2 steps across the sidewalk to the door.
Yes.
And is half into the door. Like you're not fully into Seattle Coffee.
He was holding the door open.
I'm holding it for a young woman to come out.
Yeah.
Because she was walking.
And immediately.
Out.
This aggro guy cranks it up to 11 and shouts at Ray, hey, you got to move your car. That car's trying to get out.
Because there was a car backing up on the other side of us that started right as we pulled up, I guess. I didn't even see it.
And Ray, to his great credit, says, I'm in the passenger seat. I don't have a steering wheel. And
I'm gesturing the wheel and I'm going, sorry, I don't have a steering wheel. Because I was like, why is this man angrily yelling at me when the driver of the vehicle just passed you?
Right.
He's right there. Why are you yelling at me?
There's no way he didn't see me get out.
Right. And I'm not being an asshole like, fuck you, buddy. You know, jerk off motion. Right.
Like, honestly,
kissing my middle fingers at you. You know, that kind of stuff.
By the time any person in the passenger seat would get out, walk around the car, get in the driver's seat, and move the car, Chuck's back with the coffee.
Yeah, the comedy moment is me getting out of the passenger seat, going around the front of the car, opening the driver's side, sitting down and going, oh, and then getting out to let Chuck in.
Yeah.
It was weird that he just immediately started with like, me, like, what are you doing, man? You son of a bitch.
Incredibly aggressive.
Yeah.
And at the time, you know, Chuck had opened the door to let someone out, and here's this guy yelling, move the car. And Chuck's like, all right, I'm going to come out and move the car.
And real quick, I don't want to give the wrong impression because the viewer listener hasn't seen this gentleman.
Yeah.
I did a voice that's completely inappropriate for him. It's not, it's, hey, 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 you know, like that kind of thing. Yeah. He's small. He's a smaller man. Yeah,
5'9", 5'10".
Something like that. Yeah. I'm sure that's what he tells people.
Yeah.
Right. And
he's smaller than me, and I'm 5'11". He's definitely smaller than me.
Right. Yeah, and he just had the air of the guy is like maybe he works at GNC, but not for bulk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Or like I said, he works at a car dealership.
Right? Yeah.
Has that vibe.
Yeah.
So he yells that, and that's when you step out.
Uh-huh. And I say, I'll move the car.
Well, he wasn't facing you, and so you, like, patted him on the shoulder, like a congenial pat, like, hey, don't worry about it, you know? But you didn't do it in a passive-aggressive, like, don't worry about it, I'll move the car. You were like, oh, hey, bud, don't worry about it, I'll move the car right now. It was a very, diffuse.
I think it was, I got it, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I moved the car forward immediately, like within a second.
So that the car could back out?
Yeah. Before you could move it forward, though.
Yeah.
He slams your door for you.
Don't put your hands on me ever again. And Chuck said, okay.
Yeah. And meanwhile, we were all thinking the same thing. Like, I'm never going to see you again.
Yes.
I will never put my hands on you. He said, yeah, don't ever put your hands on me. Don't touch me ever again. What the fuck are you doing? Yeah. And
and I have no interest in engaging.
Yeah.
So I just said, okay.
Yeah.
And I pulled my car up 15 feet.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the Jeep could back out. And then he walked over to the car. And so you saw me pressing the lock button.
But he came back again.
Yeah.
To yell at you more, which was just it was a weird situation where I think all three of us, our default setting is like, this guy's coming in so hot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's diffuse.
Yes.
Not cower, but calm.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and I wanted to be like,
I was just confused.
I wanted to be like, I'm going to continue with my day.
That's
kind of my vibe.
Yeah. And he was still upset, and he said something like, so don't ever fucking touch me. Don't ever pat somebody on the fucking back and then stay in your car because you're too afraid to get out. And like something like that.
Yeah, call me pussy.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, so this dude wants a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so weird where I'm like, do you want me to go get the coffee? Like,
I'll get out.
I'll go deal with this. It's fine.
So the Jeep backed out.
Yeah.
I backed up a little bit. He walked past again, and I'm like, I'm just going to wait for him to leave. And he was like, what? What the fuck
did you say? What'd you say?
And I said, I just told my buddy, you're right there waiting for you to leave.
Yeah.
And then, whatever I said, something like that. Went in, got the coffee, we left. Here's what may have transpired that maybe you didn't catch.
Real quick, before you reveal this that might ruin my point on this, I will say, like, we talked about it afterwards of, like, this idea of people, dudes who are just so ready to snap. The only way they know how to get through a day is to aggro everyone in front of them.
Yep.
And it's so dumb because it's like, look, I'm angrier than you, therefore I'm tougher.
Right.
Or I'm right.
Yeah. And it's like, well, you're neither, right? You're just a little mad man.
Yes.
That I think at least one and a half of the people in the vehicle could destroy.
Yeah. So, yeah. So,
myself, and then maybe if the two of you joined up, you could do something.
The half. Yeah.
So, I think he came at 11. I thought it was totally inappropriate how angry he was immediately.
Yeah.
I thought him yelling at you was inappropriate. I thought his whole aura was not right for the situation.
Yeah. When we were leaving, I was like, oh, his spouse, his wife or girlfriend or whatever must be so fun all the time. Like, just a scared all the time. Just a scared.
So, when I saw him yelling at you, he had his body across the door, and he was like, babada, 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 to Ray.
Yeah.
And I was walking past him, and I said, I got it, buddy, I got it, buddy. Don't worry about it. And there's like, I got it, buddy.
Yeah.
And I gave him a real fuck off. This is nothing.
Uh-huh.
But I will say, it literally was like this much more like, it was more of like me being like,
for the listener, Chuck is holding his fingers up roughly the length of his penis.
Oh, that's not much at all.
Yeah.
But it was, I got it, buddy. it was kind of like a don't worry, I'll move it combined with we don't need to go this far.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit more.
There was some snark in it.
There was a little snark.
Yeah.
But if he was at a level 100 snark or whatever you want to call that, I had to be at a level 3.
Sure.
You know what
I mean?
Sure. But there was a little bit of like.
There was a little nudge of it.
It was a little nudge of like, you don't need to. This does not need to be as big of a deal as you're making it.
Yeah.
And I did not touch him hard. I didn't hit him. I didn't push him. Uh-huh. But it was like a dude, chill. It was. That's what it was. It was me saying, I got it, buddy. But it was chill out.
Okay, I don't think that's
I don't think
much
that's
of
insane.
A withhold.
This guy was ready to throw hands at 10:45 in the morning.
I was going to say, like, compared to him,
it
was nothing. We would pray for this guy to act the way I acted. You know what I mean? In terms of the way he did.
Sure.
You know, you wish the people that are that aggressive were as aggressive as I am in that situation.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just a, I'm sorry, Mr. Sir. I'll move
on. No, I understand that. Yeah. Well, that's not a big withhold. I thought you were going to say something like
I flicked him in the nutsack.
Or no, like I recognized that guy and we had it out a while back.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I took too long in line ordering a sandwich at a place because I got real invested and I had to know where the turkey was from. Right? Like, and this guy was losing. He's like, I'm on my fucking lunch break. I got to get back to GNC. I just became third key. They rely on me. You know what I mean? Like,
my
that
friend
kind of
raisin
thing.
Turkey.
Yeah, you're talking about all that. Would you haggle? How much would you? What if I said I'll give you $5 for that $7 sandwich? What would you say?
But no, I know that it was a little dismissive.
Yeah,
but I think rightfully so.
Yeah. Sure,
you know what I mean. It's like he did not need to flip out that way.
Yeah, no. Of course.
Know?
No, somebody coming that big,
like
out of nowhere, is always like like not unsettling, but it rocks the boat in a way where you're like, whoa, what are we doing here?
Yeah, you're like, you're making things uncomfortable for you, me, and everyone that sees this.
You got to ramp up to this, pal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because
there's plenty of off ramps on the way to 10. You can't just immediately go to 10 because it's like, well, then how did we get here? Where do we go from here?
Yeah. This is my thing is like, so let's say he reacts that way about that. Now what happens when something that's appropriate for that reaction happens?
Yeah.
Does he just tear his own head off? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, what happens? Yeah, and then nobody believes him because he cried wolf too many times.
Exactly, he's crying wolf. Mm-hmm. And I did whisper, you're the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah, that is fair.
I shouldn't have said that.
No. But in those rare kind of occasions where that happens, I know I've been in many of those situations.
Really?
Yeah.
As which guy?
As a comedian. As a comedian, you know, there have been situations that happen.
Yeah, that's different.
I was an RA in college to pay for my college.
Wow, this is really interesting.
Yeah.
Because there's like bystander.
Yeah.
But then like comedian heckler or comedian audience member in general, even after the show, is different.
Yeah. Yep.
And RA to college student is different.
Right.
You've had some of those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you were in a more of an authority. You didn't have to live with them after.
Right.
I did, right? Because I became an RA to pay for part of my tuition. Otherwise, I could not go to school.
I mean, as an RA, I just let people do almost whatever they want.
Hey, stop.
Yeah. Guys, get in a room.
Stop dyeing my beard green when I sleep.
Yes.
You're killing him. Stop.
Yeah. Right? Call me Forest Face.
So there were a few incidents where it was, you know, ambulances come and things like that. Yeah. You know, it's that thing, the RA training kind of idea of just like you de-escalate.
Yep.
If you know, two people are like screaming at each other, yelling, you don't go in going, what is going on? You know, because you don't match it.
Yeah.
Brad's like, but that's what I do. Yeah. No, you go in.
I mean, I've done that.
Yeah. You got to read a situation.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you're supposed to go in calmer than the person being upset, right?
Yeah, of course.
And it is a weird thing. And even in some of those scenarios, I've had to be like, I'll fight you if that's what you want.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's been situations where somebody then turns, like I being an RA, someone then turning to be like, is it you that's gonna be the problem? You know, that kind of thing. And it's like, okay. There was a dude, he did not like me because he was cutting people's hair for $5 a head and was just leaving the hair in the hallway.
Oh, all right.
And I went, hey, and this kid was a fucking moron.
Yeah,
like, he's a roid rage guy. He took roids and he didn't make it. He bailed on school because the police were after him.
Right.
That's who this guy is. So he's like, I said, dude, clean up the hair. You know, your little barber shop, clean up your hair, right?
Yep.
And so he brought printer paper out from his room and lays it over it. I mean, what are we in a sketch?
Yeah.
You got to clean it up.
That's funny.
Right? Yeah.
And that's
funny. And I'm just like, dude, you can't, it's not pee.
Yeah.
You know, with a newspaper.
Absorb it. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to clean it up. Is this what you do at home? That, like, if you make a mess, you just do you just lay paper over dirty dishes? What are you doing? It's dumb.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the guy was older than me, full of roids. He's ready to fight. Diffuse that situation, and then cut to, again, have to live with these people. Yep. Cut to the weekend. I'm not an RA right now.
Yep.
I'm just Ray with my friends and very drunk.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm just drunk, Ray.
I'm just a guy. And so he's in the hallway. He sees me. He does the aggressive kind of walking past me, bump on my shoulder. And I'm like, oh, man, what if I fell over? You'd have to lay some printer paper on me. You know, doing something like
funny.
That.
Yeah.
And then I walk outside.
Yep.
And I'm over with my friends. People are, having cigarettes. Yep. We're talking. A friend's hitting his little pipe, doing that kind of stuff. And he comes out, takes his shirt off.
Good.
Because that's what a roid rager does. Yep. You are entranced right
now.
Yeah,
I like this.
Yeah, you're like, I love it. I hope he kicked your ass.
What happened? Yeah. Well, I can't imagine you fighting, but go ahead.
Yeah, so, the chair. And Getem was like, yeah, it makes noises. I'm like,
yeah.
For a fat guy sitting in a chair that's not mine, I love to hear. Yeah, sometimes it sounds like it's breaking. It's fine. Yeah. But no, so he comes out, takes the shirt off. He is full aggro. He's what the guy was today, only big enough to actually do damage.
Right.
Big enough for me as a 6'7 guy to be like, he could fuck me up.
Yeah.
The dude was jacked, right?
Yeah.
He comes up, gets right in my face. And thankfully, my friends are there, and it was very funny. We made fun of a friend of mine endlessly afterwards because three of the four guys that I'm with, and there was a couple of girls that kind of stepped back a little bit, three of the four guys, they're ready. They know what's going on.
Yep.
They're ready. One of my friends, Danny, he gets right next to me, kind of close enough where, and I can see his body language change. He's in a stance.
Yeah.
He's ready to go.
Yeah.
Two other ones, they're ready to go. The fourth friend is fucking gone. Yeah,
that's Brad in this situation.
He did a Brad. Right? Does the Scooby-Doo run? So I genuinely, I'm drunk. I am not prepared for this fight. If it were someone that I could maybe fight, this would be fine. This guy will wreck me.
Yeah.
He will destroy me. And I didn't know what to do, so I just defaulted to what I kind of have relied on in life. And I stood there, and I very casually and slowly had a cigarette, talking in a lower voice, looking him dead in the eye, and continuing to make jokes at his face.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's just all I know. Said the scorpion to the frog, this is who I am,
right?
Yep. I'm going to make jokes at your face because it's the only thing. Because in the past, it has gotten me out of a few sticky situations.
Right. Yeah.
Because it short circuits a fucking moron's brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like an aggro guy,
yeah.
He only understands another person getting aggro or cowering and going, sorry. What they don't comprehend is somebody even keel and continuing to insult them.
Yeah.
And I just did that, and he got so angry at this. He's turning red, right? It is a situation. He just punches himself in the head and walks away.
Wow.
Because he didn't know. It broke his brain.
Yeah.
Right? So that's how that situation de-escalated.
Yep.
I continued to ridicule him, and it was fine. We did get back at him, and I think the statute of limitations is up. So he left his car when he...
You filled it with hair.
No. That's great. That was. I love that. I love that. You guys, this is going to be so funny. And as I'm shaving my own head.
And you're like, oh my God, we barely got the front seat. Excuse me.
Yeah, excuse me. How many pubes do you have? Scale of 1 to 10.
Just be honest. It's not about, I'm not going to judge.
I don't
care. On.
Please be bushy, 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 bushy. Yeah,
just
right?
The bottom, just under it.
He left his car when he was like running from the cops or something.
God.
And we were there a little early for like RA stuff. Yep. And this was post Christmas break.
Got it.
And then there's a couple of friends there, same group of guys that were out there
right
during that fight. And we're enjoying ourselves. We're having a good time. My wife is the resident director at the time of the hall. We were not dating. We were just friends. Mm-hmm. She was aware of the situation, but wasn't there and had no control over it, Your Honor. She found out later.
Yep.
It went from like occasionally going outside, being a little drunk, being tipsy because there's only RAs on campus and we're just enjoying ourselves.
Yeah.
And like seeing his car there, and maybe you kick the door and leave a little dent.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Right.
Maybe you flip the windshield wipers up so they're sticking up.
Yeah, yeah. Zing.
Right. Maybe somebody pushes one of the windshield wipers all the way back so it's sticking the wrong way.
It's not really a zing anymore.
Maybe you realize that the door is unlocked and then take the door off and put the door in the car.
That's funny.
Maybe you take an old Christmas tree and put it in the back seat.
A lot of maybes.
Maybe a few people pee in it. Maybe these things happen. Maybe you make a fun game of can I dent severely all of the panels.
How much time did you have?
Hours. There's nobody on campus and we're just college kids having some drinks, right?
Yeah. Were you ever nervous you'd come back during this malarkey?
No, it was Christmas break.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And but it was truly joyful.
Oh,
it was.
The best. There's nothing like
pick
revenge.
Any Christmas song, right?
If I have to,
it's the most wonderful time. Oh shit, Ryan's peeing in it.
It's funny because like there's things you can do consistently as hobbies, but if you are listing the funnest things you can do, I think revenge is gonna be number one.
Yeah,
you like revenge?
I've never gotten it.
How about this? Like revenge that isn't splashing on anyone else. There's no splash zone.
I'm sure it's great.
It's just laser directed at that person.
We had a good revenge we wanted to do.
But I think that's fair, right?
I think
with
it's
this
fair.
Guy, yeah. This absolute roid. By the way, like the whole campus, like people were like, that guy's a piece of shit. He's an asshole.
Can I give you a
this
little
This was a villain.
Can I give you a little bit of context for this?
Yeah, I just to end the car. Yeah.
No, this is about the
car.
Oh
yeah, go ahead.
The context is it fair for 40-year-old Ray? No.
No.
But I think that college kid Ray dealing with a guy who's a dick to him.
20-year-old Ray can do that.
I think
that,
so.
Yeah.
Think
how
it
would
is.
Alaska Ray handle it?
Ooh.
Alaska Ray, were he to come across this situation, knowing the parties involved and everything, would high-five college Ray.
Okay. Say, I can't do that.
Yeah, I can't do it, but you can.
Yes.
I'll keep an eye out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think I would have ended up sweeping up the hair myself.
We had a whole...
But see, that he learns nothing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's Brad's life.
Yep.
Mm. So
Brad's life is reinforce others' bad behavior.
That's why my friendship with Chuck works so well.
So for days afterwards, like there was a little period of time, maybe my friend Ryan, after he peed in the backseat, maybe he took one of the front doors back to the dorm room. Maybe we spent the evening joking around where he would roll down the window and put his arm out.
Now I'm on board.
Are you telling me you asked him for Grey Poupon?
So we did these things. Maybe we were like, we should probably get the door out of the dorm room and put the door in the car because maybe to me in that moment, nothing was more entertaining than the idea of a door being inside the vehicle, right? Yeah. So for a few days afterwards, we were like, oh boy, he's going to come back. Oh, he's going to come back. What's going to happen? Yeah. But we found out, and maybe this is okay, because while we were doing this to this gentleman, he was further damaging the world and got in like a bit of a chase with said police.
Yikes. Oh. If only he had his car.
Right. Oh, yeah. He was on foot.
Yep.
He takes his shirt off. Because I got to run, right? slips on a hair.
I was gonna say he would have gotten away if he didn't keep punching himself. Yeah.
And then so the car sat there for a comically long time.
Yep. Yeah.
Until finally the school had it towed away.
Oh, that's funny.
So it's fine, right?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Fine.
And it just
all's well that ends well.
Absolutely.
Yep.
In a lot of ways, it was a gift of the Magi situation.
That's true.
We were destroying a vehicle while he desperately needed one.
Revenge of the Magi.
Revenge of the Magi.
That's not bad.
I love that. That's pornographic to me. But yeah, there's those people that are just – that guy would get along so well with little angry coffee man.
Yeah.
Because they would go through the world going, anybody that just even slights me in the least, even by accident, is somebody I'm going to punch him.
See, you know? those are the people who are like, I want to be enraged. Let me find my opportunity to be enraged.
Yes, I really strongly feel that way. Yeah, 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 100%.
It's so funny, the punching in the face. My ex-girlfriend, her boyfriend before me, they would get into arguments. And he would smash himself in the face.
Yeah.
And he took a cell phone and he smashed himself in the face and he broke the cell phone and the glass cut open his face and they had to go to the emergency room. And she was like looked at as like an abusive.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So his behavior that's insane is now reflecting on others.
I see. Yeah. Was this a doctor from the 50s? Was the doctor smoking a cigarette with the little scope thing? And he went, well, clearly she drove you to it, right? Writing it on the note.
No, it was that they didn't believe that he hit himself with a phone.
It's weird because I have hit myself in the face with a phone when my sandwich accidentally has onions on it. And I'm like, I ordered no onions.
Can we call it pulling a liar liar?
Yes.
I'm kicking my ass. Do you mind? Right?
It's funny. I was just thinking about the idea of getting into a fight or getting into a situation that could potentially be a fight with someone you know you can't actually fight.
Yeah.
And I was at Club Hell, which is a club in Providence. And it was my band has played there many times, but it was actually a night I was there for like 80s night or something. And the bouncers were kind of kicking everybody out. And there are some drunk people at the end of the night, obviously at a club. It's kind of a consistent thing.
Especially at Club Hell. Yeah.
And there was a girl and she was like,
what if it was like a wine bar?
And she wasn't like, she wasn't being shitty to the bouncer or anything, but she was being kind of loud and ignoring him, and he took his forearm and he pushed her in the chest and she tumbled backwards over a fire hydrant. Maybe he didn't know it was there. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And she just like fell into the pavement on this road and it was hard.
Mm.
And I was probably 4 feet away. I didn't know the girl. This guy's huge. I ran up to him. Pushed him in the chest, pushed him back. And I was like, what the fuck do you think? I was a little drunk.
Mm.
But I remember, like, I'm doing this in slow motion. And my mind was like, oh, God, why? Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
How could you? And I'm like, at least I'm doing the right thing if I do get pummeled. And I think what happened was he didn't realize the fire hydrant. The fall was more violent than he expected. Someone reacted really big.
Yeah.
And so he was like, well, this is kind of my mistake.
Right. Yeah.
And so he didn't beat me up, but he looked mean.
It is an odd thing. And I think, I don't know. I guess I'm, part of me is lucky because I am 6'7". I'm a big guy.
Yeah.
I think that causes hesitation for a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure.
In an aggressive situation. Certainly as an RA that helped.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I learned that thing at a very early age.
Yeah.
Eighth grade. There was this kid who was in the high school who was, I can't even remember his name, but like it was like everybody knew the kid was like violent, angry, and like bad to anybody younger than him.
Would
like beat kids up on the bus and do that kind of stuff. He tried to steal our ice skates when we were out on the pond and doing stuff like that. Like he was a shitty guy.
He was a bully.
Yeah, he was a bully, and he was a big jacked guy. This was like the comedy version, which was probably true, was like he got held back like three times.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
So he's an adult man going to high school,
yeah.
And I had made some jokes in the cafeteria about the guy. And it made its way to the high school. And in eighth grade, we would go to the high school for the first class of the day for woodshop for one half of the year and then home ec for the other half of the year. Okay. That was eighth grade. You had to do that.
Yeah.
It's like easing you into going to the high school kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking to the shop class, and he was there, and he slams me against a locker. And he's like, what the fuck were you talking about? Like, he's like, I heard you were talking shit about me. And it was something like, like his, I the joke was an eighth grade kid joke of like, I don't know how it came about, like, your mom like fucked a dead cow or something like that. It's irrelevant. It's so dumb.
Yeah.
So you say that wouldn't be good in my next stand-up special?
Right, yeah. Maybe, you know, workshop
it. It was the title of the stand-up special. It's already, I've made the posters and everything.
Your mom fucked a dead cow or something.
Yeah, or something, whatever. Yeah, it was dumb. It was it was eighth grade, right? So,
it's my closing 20-minute bit.
But the thing I did with the meathead in college is the same thing I learned in this moment, because that was the moment where I was like, oh, he's going to, like, kick my ass right now. I cannot fight him. He's way bigger than me. This is like a fucking 30-year-old held back guy who's rage, you know, not 30, but you know what I mean. And I had a moment of panic of like, I don't know what to do here. If I say I'm sorry, he's just going to hurt me. If I try to fight him, he's going to hurt me. Like that kind of thing. And it, in that moment, that's when it clicked where I went, if I'm going to get my ass kicked, it better be for a good reason. Right. Yeah, like that's truly what it was. If he's going to kick my ass, I don't want to be the guy going, please don't kick my ass.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Let's do this. You know, it's Fight Club. You don't know where I've been, Lou. Right. Yeah, like that kind of thing. And so I looked him in the eye and I said, I didn't say, he was like, you said my mom fucked a cow. And he's like pissed. And I'm like, I didn't say your mom fucked a cow. I said your mom fucked a dead cow. And it broke his brain.
Right.
Yeah.
And he went, keep your my mouth. You don't talk about me. Yeah. Right. Yeah, like and like did like a stumbly word thing and walked away.
Yeah.
And after that, I was like, he's not used to somebody just calmly standing up to him.
I had a bully in high school. And I remember he was always not. He didn't bully me specifically,
Mr. Carruthers.
But he just he was mean to a lot of people. He was mean to like really nerdy kids, like little skinny kids. And he was a dick to me, just the way he talked to me and the way he acted. And I remember I was just fucking.
Did he become the bassist in your band?
Yeah. And I remember he was he's just a piece of shit. And I remember like he was being a dick one day. He was a dick to me, and he was a dick to other kids. And he's like, hey, he's like, can you pass me the duct tape? And I had just had it. And I fucking, bam, right in the face, just threw the duct tape at him. And he was kind of being a dick that day. And I think it was like in the air. You know what I mean? The classroom gets a little tense, whatever. Yeah. He's just a dick. And he was kind of like.
The song is playing. Yeah. You're like, waiting for the drums to kick in. Yeah.
He was like shocked. He was shocked.
Yeah.
And he never was a dick to me again. And I think it was.
He killed three other kids, but other than that.
Well, I was just going to say, it's funny because it's not
cares about the nerdy guys?
Well, it was just like, I think I was standing up for the nerdy guys, kind of, where it's like, you don't know who's going to react in a weird way or just be like done with your horse shit if you're trying to push people around.
Yeah.
And it's tough because my thing is, you know, if someone is a dick to anybody, kind of give them a little check that's just like, that's not how it works. Stop being a dick.
Yeah.
I think that's a positive way to deal with it.
Sure, yeah. No,
not the physical assault with duct tape. No. That was 17-year-old me.
That's fine.
But now it's like...
Alaska Ray approves of that as well.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So to me, it's like... But like make it known that's like, are you okay? Like that's a good way to do it adult-wise.
Sure.
If someone is being overly aggressive,
You're
just like, hey, did something happen to you today? Because and like you're giving them of like, hey, you're acting inappropriately.
Right, right.
You know,
there is a downside to being a comedian of this, which is often now the instinct isn't like stand up to the shitty bully or whatever. It's more just like, oh, I should probably just like, you know,
destroy you,
dig in.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, in comedy terms, like I've had people. Early on, there was a guy that took a swing at me and like weird stuff like that. You're a comedian. You're in situations. Yeah. You know what I mean? You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm somebody who generally kind of avoids that stuff. But if it comes to me, there is a line where I'm just like, oh, OK, I guess physical stuff's happening now.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do this. You came and brought it to me.
Yes.
Here we are, right? It's fine. I'm not going to run away from it.
Yeah.
But it is a weird thing where I'm like, this doesn't need to happen. You know, it's so dumb.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, I don't know. So my instincts are more comedy. I don't know if maybe I made him more pissed off when he was like, hey, you got to move the car. And I'm like, I don't have a steering wheel. Is that ticking it up more?
But I don't.
But
think
it's not like I was rolling my eyes like, I don't have a steering wheel, you fucking jag off. You know what I mean? Like that.
It was like, how am I supposed to move
like,
the car?
Like, why are you yelling at me?
I don't like the idea of people responding to that guy with like a cowering, I'll do whatever you want.
But he's used to that shit.
That's the thing is, so I think the more people that do that, the more he's going to act like that. So when you act like that, you're essentially saying, I'm okay with influencing this in a direction where other people get treated this way. Hmm. What do you think, Brad?
I was confused more than anything.
Oh, in this situation today, Brad was in the back seat and there was tinted windows. So he's sitting pretty.
Yeah. Well, and he still rolled the back window down just a smidge and then with a shaking hand dropped his wallet out the window.
It's weird because
somehow his virginity. his own anus somehow was pushing through.
It was a little business card that said, I owe you one butt. Because he still won't say ass on the card. I owe you one butt loving.
And it was I owe you then the number one. It was a really confusing. It took us a while. And he drew the butt.
Yeah. Drew the butt.
As soon as he heard the yelling, immediately with a pen and an old business card, tongue out, going, shaking hand, wallet out the window. By the way, at this point, it's not even about you. It's just a really funny scene idea. It's very fun. I owe you one butt, sir. Please, sir, I will give you butt if you...
Leave Ray alone.
I'll give you endless butt if you just... Please, sir, walk away. Walk away.
Yeah. In my mind today, it was, Chuck's going to be back in 4 seconds.
Exactly. It was so fast. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And so, because normally I'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I'll move it.
If it was a different situation, I also would not have responded, I don't have a wheel. Yeah. I would have gotten out of the car and moved the fucking car.
If Chuck had gone in to order and get the drinks.
Right.
Then I'm getting out and I'm moving the car. But I know that the drinks are ready. I know where the counter is in that store. And I know how quickly Chuck is going to be back. And again, the comedy beat is I get out of the car. I go around. Same thing.
It's yeah.
And I think a default, you know, is acquiescence and then like checking in with the person like, hey, man, I'm really sorry about that.
I didn't realize
the car was there.
Right.
My bad. Are you all right? Like checking.
Do you need a butt? Effect.
Yeah. Because I owe you one. I owe you one butt.
I'm okay with that after you give him a little bit of a razz in response.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, you're totally right but for treating people this way.
I'll say this. I don't think the guy today was totally right. And
oh, no, yeah, no, yeah. No.
But I've been in situations where somebody was aggressive, but I could very easily see their point. But I've also
and the hard part is he wasn't 100% wrong either.
Right.
That's the issue, right?
And I'll say this. I think this situation could have gone differently because I was telling Brad and Ray on the way here, I walked in, and then after I let the door close, a woman turned away from the counter to leave, and I went back to the door to open it for her.
Mm-hmm.
And if that didn't happen, the door closes and the guy starts yelling at Ray. Then I go get the coffees and I'm a few seconds behind and he's coming in
and
he sees me come to the car and I wonder how it plays out.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he probably just says some shitty stuff to you, but you shut the door and we're driving away before
maybe. I have such a hard time containing my anger. I had a real...
That's bizarre because in the last episode you said, I'm actually really good. Like, I don't get angry.
Well,
people get mad at me in a fight.
I don't get angry like this. Like, I don't get, I'll put it this way.
That aren't viewers, Chuck just violently shook his penis in front of us.
No, what I'm talking about is what it was. Is like, if me and Brad were in a fight and he was like, I would never match that. I'd be like, well, what do you mean? What are you talking about? But what I'm talking about in this situation is if he's like, you fucking asshole, you fucking pussy, I'm never going to be like, I'm so sorry, sir.
I would
be like this. I'd be like, you know, maybe you shouldn't go through life this way. It might make things worse for you.
Yeah.
So that's not getting like uncontrollably angry, but I'm just going to be shitty back, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm a snarky okay. Like, you fucking asshole, okay.
Yeah.
I think that is where I'm going in a situation like this. Because again, I've been an RA, I've been an RD, and I know that I have the power of the university behind me when I deal with confrontation.
I think you're going to say the power of the universe.
I thought that was going to happen
also
too.
Also the case, yes. Power of Grayskull. I dealt with a guy who was on meth, acting very irresponsibly. It's the beginning of the school year. He's throwing fireworks at people. Yeah. It's
fight fire with fire, right?
Yeah. And you know, he's getting aggressive towards everyone. I'm like, look, are you really going to assault a state official?
Yeah, that's something
because
that,
what I that's what I like. Yeah, technically, yeah. That's what I am.
Right,
but like,
right.
That's I don't think that's a real charge.
Oh, I like no. stuff like that though.
Let me put it this way: I was against him attacking you until you called yourself a state official.
And then Alaska like, Ray's like tagging
yeah,
him.
Then I'm like, you know what? Take him down a peg.
Are you gonna write any points? And it's the wings that you get in an airplane when they've been to your thing.
Well, I think you know, and he did use a racial epithet at my friend Dewan, who is like a buff guy, and I'm like, why are you picking a fight with Dewan? You should beat me up.
Oh, I don't like the racial thing.
No. It was bad. And then he was like, please don't arrest me. The Navy will kick me out. And I was like, oh my goodness.
And you're like, you're just lucky that I'm a professional. And then you tap your I voted sticker. Yep.
And what I would love to do,
fellow Navyman, he points, but it's Ren and Stimpy pin.
What I would have loved to have done today is say like, hey, I'm in seminary. Did you want to pray about this? Because there's no way he's going to hit somebody who offers to pray with him.
Can I be honest with you? Yeah. This dude
he might have.
Would go, Seaman, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I think that's genuinely, they get more
I'm
mad.
I'm a pastor or whatever. Hey, did you want to preach about this? Like,
That would be fun. See,
and
my
as
problem.
As long as you deliver it sincerely and not like, did you want to pray about this?
See, but my issue is my instinct is in that moment, the performative part kind of overrides my
everything.
Calculated
me too.
Part.
Yeah. Me too.
And like when he shoved your door to shut it for you because it was about to close, he shoved it. In that moment, I'm the guy that he does that and I go, oh, thank you. Right. Ooh, do you want to buckle me? Yeah. Right. Like that kind of thing. Treating it as if he just took me to the car. And like is going to shut the door for me.
Yeah.
And that I think usually probably elevates the situation.
It does.
Yeah.
But you're not matching that aggressive energy. You're almost like, I'm not going to bow to you.
Right, right.
That's what it is.
I'm not going to be like, this is just a big dumb dog barking.
Yeah.
I'm not going to match the barking, but I'm also not going to like lay over and show him my belly
this
and do
problem.
That stuff.
This
it's like, no, I refuse to play this dumb game that you're doing.
Yeah. It's tough.
But there is still a part of me that's like, I mean, if the guy wants to fight,
yep.
You know what I mean? There is a part of me that's genuinely like,
I think the only time I've been even remotely close, it was a Bears-Packers game. We're watching it at a bar.
Your mom's turn it down, and you throw down your soda, and you're like, let's go, bitch.
We're at a weird bar in Dyer, Indiana. It's the beginning of the season, and a guy.
Dyer?
That's where I'm from. And a guy is.
Dyer.
D-Y-E-R.
Still, but
guy's a Packers fan and they score a touchdown and he drums. I'm sorry that it's going to mess up the mic. Drums on the bar, keeps doing it very obnoxious. Then my friends, when the Bears finally score a touchdown, go and like run up next to him at the bar. And they're
That's fun.
And
that's
so,
fun.
Well, then he gets mad at us, comes back to our table and it's two dudes on that side, me against the wall.
I would love the drumming as the only thing you do to each other.
Well, no, and. The one woman who was with us was on the inside, and he got in her face for some reason.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if
pulled
he,
a brat.
I'm like, if he touches her, I'm like, I'm gonna hit this guy.
Sure.
With the pizza pan, I'm gonna pick it up and just swat him with it.
Yeah.
I'm like, because right now it's just words.
Yeah.
But if
yeah.
he escalates it to something physical, then I am well justified. Like nobody's gonna be mad that I'm like, yeah, he hit a woman, so I hit him with a pizza pan.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
No, I love that story.
But his friend eventually. In fact, I think he said, "Do you want to go outside?" And one of my guy friends said, "Sure." And the guy went outside, and we just stayed where we were at.
See, again, I believe someone at some point in a club setting said, "Do you want to take this outside?"
Yeah.
And I said, "No, I'm married."
Yeah.
And like it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I do think it'll. It sometimes it de-escalates it, sometimes it elevates it. But I will say for the sake of like what this conversation, right?
Yeah.
About running up. Against like aggression or like this kind of bullshit, like toxic masculinity, right? I think that's what we can call that.
Yeah.
I do want to say like a 2023 like men's mental health thing here.
Yeah.
Truly. Yep. I think it's okay. The way I kind of go through the world is I don't want to enact violence. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be aggro to anyone. I don't want to do those things. However, if it's brought to me, I will see that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like only in the most like, okay, this is where we are, right? Like if that guy had smashed your window.
Yeah.
Now we got to get out of the car because we have to get information.
Yeah.
You're not just going to let this guy break your window for free.
Yeah.
And then if he's getting really aggressive, I'm not just going to be like, oh, I'm going to get back in the car. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like you said, you took the tact of like, I just want to go about my day.
Yeah.
If go about my day means I'm getting out of the car to get the coffee, I'm getting out of the car to get the fucking coffee.
Yeah.
And if he starts a thing, we will do that thing. Yeah. That's fine. And I'm not trying to say that as a, like, you want to fucking step, then let's do it. You know, it's not that.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think there's a healthy version of being like, if we throw down, we throw down. Right? Yeah, does that make sense?
It's similar to me saying, like, if people always just cower to the people that are like that, then there's no reason for them to stop.
Sure.
So you've got to kind of be like, hey, this isn't going to go your way all the time. You can't just rule the world being an asshole all the time.
Yeah.
And I do want to say for any impressionable, like, young bears out there. No.
Mm. I hope that young bears have not been listening to this.
Yeah, I think young bear is not the right thing because that's a cub. And that's a title. Thing, yeah, that's a title.
That's established profession, I think.
It's when a twink gets buff. That's a cub.
Now that is a cub.
At least it's not a twink in hospice?
Yeah. Your autobiography.
Why do we say that?
That wasn't on mic, and I'm so upset. Yeah, we were in the car, and I don't even remember how it came up.
We were talking about you being a bear.
Oh, yeah. You said, well, Ray is very much a bear or something like that. And I was like, well, if I'm a bear, you're a twink in hospice. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
You had to be there, and you weren't. But I think I forgot what we were saying. I just got so excited about that old joke.
Toxic masculinity.
And matching it.
Yeah.
Or responding to it.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. The young bears that are out there. Right. If there are impressionable listener viewers, I want to be clear here. What we're not advocating.
Yes.
Is waiting and then enacting violence.
Right.
We're not saying that. Like when I talked about dismantling a vehicle, as it was a goof, guys. It was a fun goof. Yes.
Right.
But it was largely victimless. Right.
Yeah.
And this wasn't like I'm going to cut his brakes. You know what I mean? It's not that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Basically, what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to make sure no one does a Columbine after they listen to this episode, because I was thinking about what we're talking about and the phrase that you said of, you know, if no one stands up to these bullies, they're just going to keep doing it. And I was like, this is school shooter
material.
Don't kill him.
Don't kill him.
No, no.
Do funny revenge.
Well, revenge. Let's close with Brad and I. We had a revenge plan.
A mass goofing.
This is a really fun plan.
That's
the title.
Yeah. A mass goofing?
Yeah.
Reports are there's been another mass goofing. This is not good. I don't like being in this space, but here we are. And again, if it comes to me, I will match it.
So here's
a mass goofing.
We dealt with a woman who was who made some really, she was not romantically involved with anybody. She did something that was really shitty.
Yes.
And she was in like a landlord situation. Yeah, she stole and lied and, you know, that
this
kind
was
of
the two of you in this situation?
It was me. It was not Brad. Yeah.
Oh,
I was helpful.
Yeah, I was adjacent.
Oh. All right.
This is a couple years ago.
Okay.
And I was like, I want to get her back. She's such a bad person.
Mm.
Like, she took advantage of us at a really awful time when other stuff was happening. She lied, all this stuff.
Yeah.
She deserved it. And if Brad says she deserves it, then
she definitely acted illegally.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I had the idea.
Point to your I voted sticker. I know the law.
How familiar are you with farming?
What?
You can order a small box that's this big. And it's filled.
Describe the size for listeners.
For listeners, 3 by 3 by 3, I'd say. 3 inches by 3 inches by 3 inches.
You know what you're describing is roughly the size of a box of index cards? Does that make sense?
Sure, sure. Yeah. Something like that. Very small.
Yeah.
And what they're filled with are 1,000 ladybug larvae. And you could go into someone's car and you could open it and put it under their seat.
Fuck.
And their entire inside of their car, 1,000 ladybugs in the gears, in the radio, in the pedals, like in all the holes and everything. And like, you're not destroying something. There's no real violence.
I mean, you're killing
to...
1,000 ladybugs.
Right. Well, they're out there.
You can open that box and go, I have become death.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. You were going to put a leaf in the car.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. We took a screwdriver and jammed holes in the roof of the car. We put a twig in.
We thought about that because it's so cheap to buy.
That's very good.
And it's a great idea.
That's very good. Yeah. Oh, but you didn't do it?
We didn't do it.
I'll say what
this sucks.
What I wanted to do in this instance
it's
was...
It's not fun unless you do
who
it.
Who do we hate?
What I wanted
just
to do
wait for that guy
in this instance was wait until the weather is incredibly cold then ice down there. Like ice, spray the hose over their car all night.
Yeah, I like the bugs better.
The bugs is more wacky.
Yeah.
It's just we live in such a surveilled world. The idea of getting revenge and getting away with said revenge seems impossible. Although I'll point out, it has been many years since this incident.
So
this person has never gotten their comeuppance.
Hmm.
Revenge is a dish best served...
quick.
No.
Steaming hot.
Oh, my God.
Piping hot, fresh out of the wrong oven.
All right. Maybe I've been reading the wrong
the wrong oven.
Yep.
The toaster wrong.
Yeah. Good revenge.
Yeah, that is beautiful. Although,
and Fun Bears, if you commit that revenge on someone, please film it and send it in.
No. We're not associated with it. No.
Ray Harrington, Brad Moore.
How about this? For safety's sake, legality's sake,
yes,
right?
Good choice.
Just to protect ourselves against litigation. We don't want to be complicit in the bug situation. Why don't we say this? If you do that, loyal listener viewer, simply send us a message, an email, funbearablepod@gmail.com, that says, hey, I finally saw Ladybugs the movie.
Yeah.
It's really fun and very good. You know what I mean? Like something like that.
Tell us how many stars out of 1,000 you give it.
Yes. I think that's fair. That's
actually,
great.
Actually, you know what? Don't do that. Oh, I got something in my eye.
It's a ladybug.
Yes.
Yeah. It's 1,000 ladybugs.
If there was ever a person I would suspect has to put a lot of effort into winking, it is Brad, and he confirmed it for me just now.
Oh, absolutely.
You almost heard the squeaking, like the Tin Man, like...
Yeah. I don't wink often.
Oh, that is one of my new characters back in the day.
He has to put oil in his joints. Yeah.
What, the character, now it's not going to be funny because it's basically the same thing, but I had a character for a minute where I didn't know where to put these things, so I would jot them down as like, maybe I'll do it on the podcast, but the character, maybe I did this on the podcast and I don't remember because I'm so tired, I'm not even sure I'm here.
Abacus.
Abacus. The character is this person really struggles winking. All right. Okay.
Brad. Yep.
All right. You know, I wouldn't be upset if you let me have the last piece of pizza.
Really punctuated.
We went upstairs and we went to bed early that night.
It sounds terrible that way.
Give me that water. I'll take that water now.
And then you just rub the water in the eye. No, I like this idea. Now we're on to like revenge stuff, which feels like another episode.
Yeah, let's bottle the revenge.
Yeah, I really do want to. And of course, other stories, not just Ladybugs, not seeing the movie Ladybugs.
Yeah.
Yes. Double out.
Again.
Double out.
Fun Bearable does not recommend revenge in any way.
No. like now it's everybody doing it.
Well, you know what?
Well, we have audio listeners, so it's perfect.
Yeah. Please reach out to us if you've dealt with like these aggro, like Cro-Magnons, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just like the people that can't understand anything, right?
Have you got a bully or a revenge story? Write it in at funbearablepod.
The revenge, it's almost like I want to save revenge though.
You want to save revenge?
Yeah.
As a
it
concept?
Is a dish best served cold.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what if we do it in another episode?
There's
much to talk about in revenge.
You mean like
world.
A bully episode and a revenge episode?
Ooh.
Maybe a two-parter.
I'll say this.
Bullies and revenge.
If you're a fun bear and you were the person that we interacted with at Starbucks this morning...
Stop listening. Fuck you.
Yeah. We hope you get revenge.
We hope you get help is what we hope.
I hope you get stage four revenge.
And then if you're Ray's college buddy, you know, we hope you've turned your life around.
Non-buddy.
If you want to write in and apologize to Ray, feel free. Yeah.
I bet he couldn't do a keyboard. You know how there's like the Hunt and Peck?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
With two fingers?
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy's a tongue out, one finger kind of guy.
I love the tongue
out. So stupid.
F-U-N. be unbearable is not even a word.
Yeah. There's two E's and I don't know where they go.
But thank you all so much for watching and or listening. We appreciate it. We know it's an unusual background for us.
Yeah.
Special thanks to the Tell 'em Steve Dave Studios for letting us record. Shout out to Walt.
And also, and get him. Chuck, one day I think you should stand up to Walt.
Oh, my God. 1,000
ladybugs.
Oh, and real quick, just to throw this out there, we were talking about how I went to the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
I want to be clear. Yes, massively destructive fires spread across Sicily and other parts of Italy.
Yeah, they followed you.
The day that I left is when they started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you said you had a bad situation with a guy.
I had nothing to do with it. I had nothing to do. That did happen. Like, I remember getting off the boat with the other entertainers, and I get off the boat and I'm like, and I could smell the smell of like ozone and fire.
Wow. Get on the plane.
And somebody went, oh, it smells weird. And I went, oh, I know what that smell is. I smelled that like 2 months ago when the Canadian wildfires were going on.
Yeah.
In Rhode Island. Remember when it was like really smoky?
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
It's a distinct kind of smoky smell.
Bizarre.
It's ozone and smoke.
Yeah.
And I smelled it then.
It's ozone.
And I was like, that's weird. And then when I got home, I found out that these crazy fires happened. Yep. So it is horrible and sad, and yeah. I hate it. And also, I'm just realizing this correlation. Yes, there was flooding at in the Mendenhall River, Glacier River, in Juneau, Alaska, this past week, where a few homes were washed away. Again, had nothing to do with it.
You're like Godzilla. Like these
things are not looking good for New Jersey.
Well, you know, it's almost like I am traveling the world during climate crises. It's almost like I am just simply traveling in 2023.
Yeah, man-made climate crises. I'm proud of that button. Thank you all so much for sticking around.
That's what he said to the police. I'm proud of that button.
No, he gave the guy the card that says I owe you one butt, and he said, by the way, I'm proud of that button.
The visual of just the shaking hand coming out of the window is so funny. And
I was
like,
just trying to end the episode.
I know, but this is too funny and I'm too tired. It's like immediately equating like, oh no, this man is aggressive. This is prison rules. I will give you my butt. Please. Please. If given the option, I'll take you. Take my butt. Please. Take my butt, please.
Send us an email, funbearablepod@gmail.com. For Ray Harrington, for Chuck Staton, I am Brad Rohr saying thank you so much, and we're sorry for being funbearable.
I'm Brad Rohr saying I owe you one butt.
Molte bene. Ciao bella.
I can't wait until you host 2020 and that's your sign up. In America, I owe you one butt.